This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ohio State and TCU is the game involving the highest ranked teams collectively on the board this weekend. Boise State and Oklahoma State is, along with Auburn and LSU. No, check that. Auburn and LSU are the two highest ranked teams. And then TCU and Ohio State after that. Boise State and Oklahoma State is a sneaky game. However, the game involving the two biggest brands collectively on the field is USC and Texas, two blue bloods that think that this matchup should be the matchup between the number five and number nine team in the country. Actually, most years they'd be insulted that one of them would have to be number five or number nine in the country. Texas is not ranked, deservedly so. USC is just barely hanging on in the top 25. They looked offensively at least silly against Stanford last week. They only put up 3 points. Which coach in this game is under more pressure in your mind, Clint? Clay Helton at USC or Tom Herman at Texas?
I'm going to go with Herman at Texas. And there's several reasons. I think you can attack this thing from several different angles, but I think number one is what's going on at A&M. You know, what's going on in College Station right now is really, at the end of the day, it was cemented last week with their performance against Clemson. But what's going on there, and what has gone on that's led up to this over the last 5 or 6 years, Texas is in dire straits. They got to have this thing turned around sooner rather than later. So I would go with Herman if I had to pick a coach in this particular game. Losing to Stanford 17-3, I think as a fan base and as a program, you can stomach that. You don't like it, obviously,
Yeah. But
you can stomach that. Going on the road, losing to Maryland without their head coach, without their strength coach, with all that, the turmoil there, and then turning around and not putting a good product on the field versus with Tulsa.
There's a large gap
between, I think, where USC's struggles are and where that program sits and where Texas sits right now, regardless of what angle you look at this thing from. Texas has got to – they got to make a move, and they better make a move quick.
Yeah, when I think of pressure, I always think of, okay, job security. And the weird thing is in that game, Herman is probably the more secure in his job right now just in terms of keeping it because he's only – 13 or 14 games into his tenure as the Texas head coach. But there's been a lot of bluster with Tom Herman. There's a lot of bravado with Tom Herman. None of it's been backed up on the field yet. None of it's been backed up. He's had some good recruiting classes, but that hasn't turned into anything yet. And his reputation, you know, we all talk about Bill O'Brien and his reputation as some sort of QB guru
right. Coming
here to the Texans. And I think some of that was like O'Brien never claimed to be a QB guru. It's just he was the quarterback. He was the offensive coordinator for Tom Brady, and he made Christian Hackenberg look pretty good for a year at Penn State. Other than that, you know, until he got Deshaun Watson, there's not a lot of evidence there. But Herman came in, I think, to U of H with a little bit of a reputation like that because he was the OC when Ohio State won the national championship with Cardale Jones, their third quarterback at the end of the year. And I'm a firm believer that a lot of the greatness of U of H the 2 years Herman was there was not anything he was, you know, doing like creatively. Like Greg Ward was an amazing improvisational type of quarterback. I'm not saying that Herman and his staff were bad or anything like that, but I think their role in it might have been overblown. Like Greg Ward was a great, great improv type of quarterback in college.
Well, I tell you, Greg Ward, I've talked to probably 3 or 4 people in this area in the last year and a half, and every one of them put Greg Ward at the top of their list relative to the intangibles of a leader of a football team, a quarterback of a football team. They say they've never seen anything like it. He had his arms around that football team, and he had control of that football team more than anybody did. And so, but like you said, I mean, Herman obviously is a great coach, but you know, 13 or 14 games in, can you go on the road and lose to Maryland and go, hey, it's all right, no big deal. Come on back home. Let's see what happens the rest of the season. Sure. Can you play Tulsa and put a bad product on the field? No. Can't do it.
Yeah, especially when you lost to Maryland the year before.
Chad Morris at Arkansas is in, he took over a very bare cupboard from Bielema.
Yeah.
He's two games deep, lost to Colorado State, who's got a great quarterback and two receivers that are as good as anybody in the country relative to throwing the football.
Yeah.
They just lost in dramatic fashion at the end of the game, or in ugly fashion at the end of the game, and people are the fan base is going crazy.
Yeah,
two
right.
games in
yeah.
against Colorado State.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about Texas going playing Tulsa and putting a bad product on. That's a different type of emergency. He's got to get this ship righted quick.
He does. You know, just comparing the two coaches, like with Helton, at least you go, well, he won a Pac-12 title. He's won a New Year's Six bowl game. Like, as the USC coach, Clay Helton has done some things, and they're a young team, too. I don't know the USC's fan base. I know there are pockets of it that are super rabid, I don't know that there's a pocket of the USC fan base. I just don't know. We're in Texas, so we know there's a pocket of the Texas fan base. It's a big pocket of the Texas fan base that's very impatient. Just ask Charlie Strong how impatient they are. Impatient about being a winner. And I think you bring up a great point about Jimbo Fisher. If it were still Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M and this were going on, and Sumlin, you could tell, is on his way to another one of his trademark 8-4, 7-5 seasons, and he's just recruiting really well but not really coaching him up, then it's okay. I think if you're a UT fan, I don't want to say you feel a sense of panic, but I do feel like even in spite of Jimbo Fisher being a 6-win coach at Florida State last year, you get the sense that it's been amped up at College Station. Like, there is a different caliber of coach in town at College Station than what they've had the last few years, and a different sense of urgency there.
Since Mack Brown left Texas, and really arguably the last year he was at Texas, maybe the last two, the state was up for grabs, generally speaking, for who's winning the best program. And I don't know that I think Baylor kind of had it. TCU's gotten better. A&M got better there with Manziel's years. But I don't know that anybody really had a stronghold on it.
Yeah.
And with what they're doing at A&M right now, with the players that Sumlin had there, and Fisher coming in taking over, and that what they put on TV the other night,
they're
on the verge of taking this thing, this bull by the horns, and running with it, and Texas is going to fall behind if they don't do something quick.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I would say about A&M, something I said earlier this week, I agree with everything you're saying about the talent level, talent of the coach, the direction of the program, all the investment they've made in the program, the SEC West, you know this, being an Arkansas guy.
Yeah.
You can be a great team and go 8-4
right,
and being in the SEC West.
Well, that's the interesting thing. You look at the rest of these schedules, back to your original point, Helton or Herman.
Yeah.
You know, you look at USC. They just lost 17-3 to Stanford. We can live with that. There's nobody on their schedule that scares me any more than Stanford, other than maybe Notre Dame, and that's the last game of the year. Right?
Yeah.
So you really don't – as I look at it, I'm not going, man, they're going to get the doors blown off of them. But Texas – he's got to play, I know off the top of my head, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Well, they got to play TCU next week.
I mean, they're liable to get the doors blown off of them 3 or 4 times. And so you got to believe that Herman is a little concerned.
That'll be interesting. Texas and TCU next week. Texas coming off of USC. TCU coming off of Ohio State. It's going to be interesting to see the dynamic in the games in Austin. We'll get to that next Thursday. But that's just, as we look ahead, something very, very interesting.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.